Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking gelato, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/issuesETC.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins, still on the subject of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, meeting in churchwide assembly in Minneapolis over the last week. Today, I think the last day of their assembly, if I'm not mistaken, they have gathered and finally made the decision, or the series of decisions that culminate in what is, in effect, the full acceptance of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered relationships, not only in same-sex marriage, but also for ordination in active clerical status in that largest Lutheran church body. Our call-in number on this Friday afternoon, August the 21st, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Pastor Matt Harrison joins us for his thoughts on these unfolding events. He's Executive Director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care based in St. Louis. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
We're outsiders looking in, and I wonder, what do you make of what I think is probably a common reaction, which is, well, you know, we're members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're not going to ordain gays. We're not going to approve gay and lesbian relationships. Thank God we're not like the ELCA.
Well, I've heard that a lot. I've heard it also stated by ELCA clergy and laity. However, Hermann Zosse used to say, American Lutheranism is like a long train. The ALC and the LCA are in the front, the ALC in the middle, and the Wisconsin Synod, Missouri Synod in the middle, Wisconsin Synod at the end. It's a train that is all of one piece. They get eventually to the same spot, just at different times. And I think we've come since the struggles over the nature of the scriptures, which is why the LCA has landed itself in this position. The Missouri Synod took a turn back to the Church Catholic with a high view of scriptures, and so that analogy, I hope, will not come true. Nevertheless, the same culture is heavy upon us, and this is a wholesale capitulation to the culture and the spirit of the times.
Are you surprised, Matt?
No, I'm not surprised. I've been thinking about this intensely all day, checking now and again the websites to see what the latest is. But I'm not surprised at all. I've dealt with many, many ELCA people and people from Higgins Road over the last number of years, and there was no guessing about what positions were, where Bishop Hansen was driving the church or the rest of the church staff. I've known that for a long time. I've had pointed discussions about these matters. So there was no surprise. However, I found myself gripped by a profound sense of grief, more profound than I thought would be the case.
Earlier this year, you wrote at an earlier stage in the ELCA Task Force on Sexuality Study, when these things were still as a matter of discussion, you wrote remembering what is considered to be the dying words of the reformer Martin Luther, "We are all beggars, this is true." Why did those words come to mind as you considered at the time and today the direction of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
The body of Christ is beyond any one denomination. It's wherever Christ's word is preached, the gospel is preached, and the sacraments are administered according to its institution. And wherever the church takes a hit, it's a profound impact upon the entire body, and it makes it that much difficult for us who remain in Orthodox churches to stand and confess against the tide. It's a sad day. I know many faithful Christians in the ELCA who love their Savior, love the Holy Scriptures, And this institution now taking part in our great era of post-denominationalism and its confession falling apart, it just is profoundly sad to watch it unravel.
I was thinking about this earlier today, trying to anticipate what I might say to someone on the air or off the air who says, you know, how should we react to this? And the first word that came to my mind was repentance.
Absolutely. Amos told the people there's a famine of the Word of God in the land, and we live in a time of famine of the Word of God. And it's so easy for us to point elsewhere where others are ignoring the clear Word of God, and make no mistake about it, this action is a complete, incomplete defiance of the clear Word of God. And if the Word of God is not clear on this, it's clear on nothing. It can be cast to the winds. We live in the same context. We have the same sinful flesh. There's no handing on the Book of Concord or the Scriptures to the next generation like some kind of book. It has to be lived and believed by each generation. And we need today, more than ever in our churches, a profound call to repentance. We need clear preaching of law and gospel. We need clergy who are deeply involved in the Word of God. I read the other day a very interesting website, a guy who gives his life to the expansion of the study of Hebrew particularly, but also of Greek and the languages. The languages fell out of prominence and importance in seminary education over the last 40 years in ELCA institutions. We're seeing the same pressure upon the Missouri Synod. And once clergy no longer have the clarity to know the original languages, to be able to know what the text says, to know the precise principles for interpreting the text, sola scriptura, the Scriptures interpret the Scriptures, without the original languages, the wretched dregs of pietism, whether liberal or conservative, take over, and feelings get in the way, and sentiment drives the church.
You mentioned before that this is taking place in the context of what many recognize, and I think rightly so, to be what we call a post-denominational age. For good or for ill, are we watching, Matt, and for lack of a better word, a realignment of the Lutheran confession in the United States, perhaps even worldwide?
Yes. I mean, Bishop Hansen is president of the Lutheran World Federation. That's the worldwide large a body of self-defined Lutherans in the world. I think the bad news is we are in a post-denominational age. The good news is we are in a confessional age. And that means old institutions are tottering and teetering. Hermann Sasse said, the future belongs to those who dare to confess their dogma. We must dare to confess the Scriptures, no matter what. No matter what the culture presses upon us, no matter what mistakes and failings of other Christians or denominations around us, we must confess the Scriptures, full stop, no matter what the culture says to us.
You once told me in a private context, but I've often quoted you in public, that the Lutheran confessions, and I think you said this before, are not documents of convenience. They're not there to be studied at our leisure. They're there to be used when times, precisely when they and their confession are under attack by the world and even within the church. What did you mean?
Difficult times drive us to the confession. They drive us to the Scriptures. Rebirth always comes because the Word of God is living and mighty and sharper than any two-edged sword. And difficult times, weaknesses drive people to the Scriptures. I'll guarantee you, those faithful people in the ELCA know their Bible 10 times better or 100 times better, particularly on this issue, than they would have otherwise. God allows heresies to come in order to purify the church, as tragic as it is, and to allow it to come to clarity in different ages. And the church ebbs and flows according to human sight, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church will continue, and the Orthodox Church will continue.
Is apostasy too strong a word to describe what we've watched over the last better part of a decade and then culminate this afternoon in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
No, it it is apostasy. There's no way around it, and give me great pain to say that, but there's no other word for it.
What do we say? If we're Lutherans or others, we are approached by someone who's a friend of ours on the street, who is a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, a loved one, whoever it may be, and they are deeply, profoundly saddened and surprised by what's happened in their church. What do we say to them? We've got about a minute here, Matt.
Our witness to you was too weak. And where we have failed to convince, where we have failed to know the Scriptures, to be able to open the Scriptures so we can have a clear conversation and speak clearly on the basis of the clear Word of God and not some ridiculous sentiment or cultural bias of our own. I believe the Missouri Synod has its vast sins of arrogance, of lack of charity, of unkindness, masquerading at times under strict orthodoxy. We need to meet those people with deep humility, deep repentance, knowing full well that we could find ourselves in the very same circumstance in a very short time. Lord, have mercy upon us. That's the only thing we can do.
Pastor Matt Harrison is Executive Director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care based in St. Louis, a regular guest. We will post a link to LCMS World Relief and Human Care under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Matt, I thank you for your time, especially on this sad afternoon.
Thanks, Todd. You can find on our website a PDF of a document by Armin Vince on homosexual clergy and how we got to this point. Take care, and the Lord be with you.
And with you as well. When we come back, Mark Galley will join us. We're going to talk about a better response to scandals in the church. Stay tuned. Here's your chance to win a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Email 10 friends the latest Issues Etc. YouTube video, and we'll register you to win a gift certificate from Concordia Publishing House. We'll announce the winner on August 28th. Just go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, copy and paste the video's embed code into an email, send it to 10 friends, relatives, or fellow parishioners. Be sure to send a carbon of your email with your name and address to talkback@issuesetc.org. Tell 10 friends about Issues Etc. and tune in on Friday, August the 28th to find out if you're the winner of a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Go to issuesetc.org, click promote, and send the Issues Etc. YouTube video to your friends.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Reese's Rainbow helps special needs kids the world over.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The plight of orphans in other parts of the world deserves our attention. There are approximately 1.5 million children in Eastern Europe alone who wait in orphanages for families. The situation can be especially grim for those orphans with special needs. Reese's Rainbow holds out hope by connecting willing families with Down syndrome orphans in need. They also raise money to help families fund foreign adoption and fuel efforts to improve the quality of life of special needs children in orphanages. So far, they have placed almost 200 children.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.